Hey guys, yeah, so you can hear all of that rain, right? Well, it's because I'm at work right now and I've been trying to get this episode posted and it's just been a nightmare. Throughout this episode, it's a great episode, so I encourage you to listen to it, but there is a lot of mess ups that Anchor did. So Anchor, for some reason, when you record it, it'll like make my voice specifically. I don't think it did it to Antoine at all, but it definitely made my voice like speed up for a little bit, and I sound like a Alvin and the Chipmunks, which, I mean, if I had to choose between like any cartoon characters ever, Alvin and the Chipmunks would be way down at the bottom of my list of what I want to be. So, you know, take that as you will. But anyway, I think the guy can use this episode the way that he sees fit. So we did the best we could. The reason it's a weekday is because I've been trying to fix it and do all these different things, and it's just not possible. So tune in today. There's a lot of good here, and there's a lot of vehicles going by, so you can hear all of that. This is a mess of an opening, so let's just get started.
Welcome to the Godcast with Benjamin Shelby. It is my goal that through this episode, not only you can see that the Bible is accessible to you, applicable to your life, but also attainable to live through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you enjoy this episode today as we are diving deep into the Word of God. And I pray that not only you're hearing this episode, but you also open up your heart so you can live by the truth and the Word of God, and your life can be changed the same way mine was.
Welcome back to the Godcast with Benjamin Shelby, and I want to thank each and every one of you right off the bat for all the love I got with my past episode with Brent McCorkle, and it was just an absolute treat to do that with him, and it was even more of a treat. Like, even more than talking to him was listening to how it impacted your guys' days, or how it maybe opened up your worldview a little bit. So I really appreciate everyone that reached out to me and said that they appreciated what I did there. I'm glad that I can be a tool used in the hands of a great craftsman as the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope everyone has had a great couple of weeks since the last time I was on here. I have had a great couple of weeks. A lot of good things have happened to me that I can't really get into right now, but it's exciting. So anyway, today we have Antoine McGee on, and I've been trying to get this guy on for a little while now. And it never worked out. But now, in the Lord's timing, it finally did work out. So if you like what you hear today, be sure to go check out Antoine's podcast, Studio 124. You'll hear him talk. He's a great guy. I also have an episode over on his show that I did. It was January when I did the episode on his show. So yeah, that's really exciting that I got to have him on today. I do have a little bit of a content warning, though, because he came from a really rough few years to where he is now. So, you know, I don't want to trip up anybody, like especially any young children that might be listening and, you know, asking questions after some of the things he says. I encourage you to listen, but also just be careful with the little ones, because I don't want too many things being exposed to them too early. So with that being said, I'm ready just to jump right into it. So here is my interview with Antoine McGee.
So Antoine, how are you doing, dude?
What's going on, y'all? I'm all right, man. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Blessed, as always.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Busy. I love to hear it. Yeah.
So, yep. And usually busy and blessed go hand in hand. But
yeah. Ooh, you know what I mean? That's a word. That's a word right there. That's a word. Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you been up to lately? Well, why don't you introduce yourself first and then.
Sure. I got you. So, hey, what's going on, everybody of the Godcast? I've been waiting for a long time to get on here. Finally, we're able to. My name is Antoine McGee. I am the host of the Studio 124 podcast, where we focus on creativity, mentorship, and discipleship. And it's been an amazing journey with that podcast. And Ben's been on the show, and now I'm returning the favor by coming on his show. I am 30 years old. I'm from Lindewall, New Jersey. And yeah, I'm just a little African-American boy out here trying to, you know, live for Jesus. Yeah. You know, that's pretty, that's pretty much what I am.
That's great. And I love every episode. I love the way that each of your episodes are so, you know, they're so intentional. You know what I mean? There might not be a bunch of them, but each one of them hits home exactly where it needs to. So if you guys haven't, if you guys haven't listened to Antoine yet or haven't been introduced, definitely go check him out. I'll have all the links below. So yeah, what has been up with you lately? Anything new?
Right now, I'm still planning a wedding. Getting married in July, guys. So y'all keep me prayed up.
Woo!
Yeah, man, it's coming fast. Amen. It's coming fast. Yeah, amen. And it's coming fast. planning that. We're moving. We'll be moving in June into our first apartment together, which we're super excited for. We got approved for that. And I'm working on some new content for the podcast and for YouTube. And before we even started recording, I was actually like messing around with some music. So, you know, we got a lot of things going on. What else is going on that's new that I have not told anybody?
Because you dabble in music, right? That's something that you're trying to get
into.
Yeah,
man. I dabble in a lot of different things, but some people call me multifaceted. So so <Yeah. laughs> I have a variety of interests, but music is definitely one of my first loves. And before, and this is part of, I'm giving you some snippets, but before I gave my all to God, one of the things I knew I had to sacrifice was my dream of being an entertainer, because that's not what he wanted for me.
Right.
And it was a very hard surrender and sacrifice. Yeah. And I literally just stopped doing all things musically, secularly at least. And then not too long ago, probably a few months ago, last year sometime, he was like, okay, now you can do music now that I know I have your heart. And I'm like, what?
I love that.
I was like, okay, cool.
There was someone, and I don't want to get too far down on this, but this is an important note. If somebody listening is holding on to something, give it to God. And like, because God's the one that gave you those abilities. You know what I mean? Man. There was a man, his name was Brother Jim Shetler. He was talking he was preaching at a youth conference, and he said that, you know, he knew that he was going to marry his wife. Now he knew that he wanted to marry her, but there was a time where she became an idol in his life. You know what I mean?
Oh my.
So what he had to do was it was hard for him to do. Like, I'm not focusing on God. You know, that was hard to do. And 3 months later, when he got his life back with God, God was like, okay, now go get her. You know what I mean? Like, I think God just wants to be that first.
Yeah.
He wants your first, and he wants your best.
Yeah.
And then that in turn helps you be better for everyone else.
Listen, that's nothing but Matthew 6:33 right there. You know, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things, all these other desires, all these other worries and cares will be added unto you freely if you put him first.
Right.
And I learned that somewhat the hard way, but it's also a beautiful thing that when it comes back around, you know, I don't know who this is for, but God will never give you a gift or a talent and let it go by the wayside.
Yeah.
It's an investment. So if you are a dancer and he say, hey, stop dancing for a period of time, or I need you to stop dancing, it's not that he's taking it away from you, is that he wants to see, will you not do it for me for this little bit of time?
That's right.
And then I'm gonna give you it back or allow you to do it again. You know, we see it with Abraham. So it's all throughout the Bible. You know, we sacrifice for him, he gives it back to us in a totally different way. So it's amazing. Yeah, man.
It is amazing. So that's a great, and I don't want to get too far into it because I know we have a big story time that's about to happen. But it's funny because the last guest I had on here, Brett McCorkle, who is the co-director of Jesus Revolution.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, he's also the composer. So he says that he's a musician first too. So it's cool how this worked out. I have two musicians back to back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I got to go back and listen to that episode, but
so it hasn't posted for us yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's fix that.
Right. Yep. Soon, when this episode posts.
Yeah.
But, man, it's weird getting this weird, like, time warp thing when you're doing these episodes. Like, forget what you posted, what you haven't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, that's great. Is there anything else interesting, or are you ready just to hop into what
I mean, we're gonna talk about? The only other thing that I think is interesting right now is, in my life, is just God's goodness, man. You know, I was reflecting on it earlier today, was just like, man, you've really been good to me, God. Like, in spite of everything, you've been good. Like, even the stuff that I don't like is still your goodness.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. Other than that, man, I don't really have too many more other new pressing news things to drop yet, but I'm sure give it a few months.
I'm excited for that.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, going off of what you said, and God is so good, I mean, obviously, I'm reading through the book of, or not the book, it seems like a book, the chapter of Psalm 119 right now.
Over
again, what the psalmist says is he has to consciously remember God's goodness to him. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
It's easy to get lost. And guys, you know, no matter what you remember or what you forget, it doesn't change the fact that God is good, but it changes our perception of him. You know what I mean? And it's hard to go on when you forget how good God is to you. And it's easy for even the greatest Christian to fall into that rut. And sometimes I'm in that rut. The greatest Christian. But it's just, that's when life is hardest. When you get caught up in life, like you said, you're busy right now, you're planning a wedding, you're doing all this music stuff, and it would be easy.
How good God is, because you're busy, you know, you're thinking about other things.
Yeah.
So I love that you just took a moment today and realized how good God is to you. And listener, if that's something that you need to do, pause this, you know, thank God for what he's done in your life. And if you're like, well, I have nothing to be thankful for, that's something you need to ask him. Be like, God, what am I missing here? Because there's always something to be thankful for. There was time where
the fact that you're breathing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a miracle. Life is a miracle.
Exactly. Yeah.
There was a time, and this is not my story, but there was one time my mom, she had three kids, us older three, and no, she had us older four, I think, and she was pregnant with her fifth kid, and we were coming down.
But
the van transmission went out kind of in the middle of nowhere, and she was like, God kept reminding her, in all things give thanks, and all things give thanks. And you know, she was like, God, what do I have to be thankful for? And then right when she said that, she looked in the back seat and realized she had four healthy kids, another one on the way. You know, she had just all of these blessings, and she tells that story all the time because it's easy to get caught up in forgetting how good God is to us. But when we stop and we take a second to realize what he's done for us, it's awe-inspiring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I love that story.
Like, I love it too.
Anywho, are you ready to jump in?
Yeah, man. So where do you want me to do, dude? Where do you want me to start?
Why don't you just start from the beginning? Like, you're the beginning of, you know, right before you started a walk with God, and I've heard some of this backstory, so I'm excited to get into it. right before you started walking with God, and then how God has revealed himself, and you know, eventually where you are now. Story.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right. So story time with Antoine McGee. Y'all ready? Y'all y'all go ahead and get your cookies, get your popcorn, and
already ready.
You know, get your soda. No, don't drink no soda. Get your
sparkling water.
Your sparkling water or whatever you want. I'm going to try to tell the best story I can. But no, I remember it like it was like yesterday, the day that I got saved. I was 8 years old in my family church in Camden, New Jersey. This family church where my uncle started the church.
Okay.
He was the first pastor of the church. He was already passed away before I got there. And I was in church for probably like my third or fourth time being there. And all of a sudden, as the preacher was preaching, I heard a voice speak to me and say, come to me. And I knew it was God at 8 years old. I knew it was him. Because one thing that I tell people all the time is when he talks to you, it's going to be a very familiar sounding voice. You're going to know that it was him. And I went up, got saved, and started, you know, living a very different life as a elementary school student. Right. I was carrying around my Bible in school, reading it. When other people were reading other books, I was reading that, taking notes. I had a pocket New Testament Bible that I used to carry all the time and read those things. I would spend time in Bible study with older people. I never had anyone my age at that time that was as serious about the Bible to sit down and read it with. I always had to read it with older people. And I sang in our youth choir. I was close to our pastor at the time. His name was Reverend Dr. Reverend King Jr. he's still preaching to this day. He's really not that far from me now. And, you know, I used to hang out with him at his house. My grandmother was the head of the music ministry. My mom, my aunt, my uncle, they all sang in the choir. We sang, my cousins, it was just like a big family affair. Right. And this was between the ages of 8 and about 10. I would say about 10, 11. Once I turned 12, we were invited to the church that I'm currently at now. We were invited to Bethany Baptist Church. And the first day, me being there, I was like, this is our church, bro. And she was like, wait, what? We're so invested at this other church. And I'm like, no. This right here is our church. And this is the place where we really need to be. And so I joined the church before she did. Okay. At 12 years old, I joined the church before she did. And immediately, I was always enamored with the word. I was always enamored with understanding being able to understand the Bible at a young age, like literally reading the book of Exodus and understanding it, reading the book of Genesis and understanding it, reading Joshua and knowing what that is, reading some of the Psalms and like, yo, what, like it started to pop out to me, right. Reading the New Testament and learning about Jesus. And even the book of Romans, I think I dabbled with the book of Romans when I was younger and started to break it down because I look at the book of Romans like the fifth gospel almost.
I do too.
Yeah. So, you know, that was part of the upbringing. And then I stayed in church till I was, you know, in my teenage years, about 14, 15, things started to shift in me. And I was seeking God for purpose. From about 14 to almost 17 years old, that was my prayer for 3 years. And he started to reveal it to me just slowly, you know, slowly different things started to pop out. And part of my purpose that he revealed to me was like, hey, you're going to preach one day. You're going to do that. You're going to. And then it went a little step further. Yeah. Beyond preaching, you're going to pastor one day. And I'm like, whoa, I don't want to do that. Primarily because I.
And for those of you that I haven't felt that before, that's a very real thing, because I've had the same thing, like just the revelation, one day you're going to do this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I don't want to do that at all.
Yeah.
And because it was the reason why I never really wanted to do it was because I knew what pastors went through. Mm-hmm. I knew the scrutiny that they were under. I knew the pressure. I knew that they would work hard with no yielding results. Sometimes their families would be neglected and their wives and all that. And I just didn't want to have to go through that because growing up, not like the pastors we have today who really started to unlock what God's true purpose was for pastors and people who are called like pastors back then, everything was the church. Everything was the church. Now there's a balance. You know, you still got some that are extreme where the church goes first, God goes first. And then you have those that are kind of in the middle, like, yeah, I'm going to spend time with my wife and kids. I'm going to get away from here. I can do X, Y, and Z still. And Right. Balance is important. Mm-hmm. Balance is important. And most people don't recognize that family is your first ministry.
Yeah.
Before God gives you a call, before God reveals his calling and his purpose and his destiny to you, he gives you a family so that you can grow into and then eventually, you know, lead and guide and do other things depending on your role in the family. Right.
Right.
So he revealed that to me and it scared the crap out of me. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm not doing this. So I rebelled. I rebelled so hard. I started doing all kinds of stuff, drinking, partying. Sex was big.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big thing that I got into. Then from there, led into a porn addiction, led into me being violent and fighting and all kinds of stuff. Just a total 360 from where I was. Just because I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this. I'm okay. No, I'm good. My crazy, insane thinking was I'm going to sin so much that you don't want to use me anymore. That was my thought process. Like, I'm going to just mess up. I'm going to mess up so much. And then after a while, all right, I'm going to cool out and come back to you. But hopefully I done jacked up so much and wasted so much time. You don't want me no more. But I went to Clark Atlanta University to go to school for my freshman year of college. I left there because I felt like I was going to die there. Not like literally die, but die.
Right.
Something in me was not right. And I was like, I got to get out of this place. So I was able to come back home and had bouts with depression and low self-esteem, insecurities, thinking people were talking about me, all kinds of crazy stuff. And then one day I'm just sitting around and it was like, okay, you need to go back to church. So I go back to church and I begin just sitting and back in service, getting fed, coming back to Jesus, rededicating my life. And then I started serving shortly after that, serving in the multimedia ministry as a sound engineer, which branched out from there to serving as one of the youngest board members for the men's ministry. Then I was a youth then here comes the youth ministry. Hey, man, you're young.
Right.
You can teach. come be a part of the youth ministry, you know, and got into youth ministry, started teaching teenagers and preteens, girls and guys alike. At first, I had one of the biggest male groups, and then we split. Then we started adding the girls in and the groups just started taking off. And that was just an amazing time every Wednesday with them, talking to them, teaching to them, not necessarily preaching, but like having conversations with them, getting them to think, getting them to know who God was in a very easy way, not necessarily like Sunday morning, I'm sweating and spitting and yelling at you.
Right. Different type.
Yeah, different type. I was a part of the worship ministry. Even as a teenager, I did sing with the youth praise team, but I went back and started singing again with the group that I'm in right now. Then about in 2017, I was approached by my pastor to become a deacon.
Okay.
I'll never forget it. I was sitting in the hallway of my church. I just dropped my cousin off. She had a counseling session with one of the pastors there. And I'm minding my business, reading the Bible or whatever I was reading. I was reading something. Or I think I was reading a book by Dr. Miles Monroe. Yes, I was reading that book. And he comes out. He looks at me. And he's like, he sits down. And he's real cool, right? He'll sit down and he'll whisper. He's like, hey, man, I know you feel like God has called you to preach. But before you do that, I think you should be a deacon. And I'm looking at him like, what are you talking about? Because in my mind, I'm like, I don't even know what a deacon is.
Right.
Like, all I know is there's a bunch of older men with suits on and ties. That's all I know. And they count the money and they pray over it. And that's about it. And they give out communion. That's all I know. I don't know what they do.
What else do you need to know? Sign me up.
And I'm like, I don't know what else they do. And on top of that, I'm like, God didn't tell me to do that. So I had to go back to God and pray about it. And he was like, yeah, I want you to do this. So I submitted and I did that. And in 2018, I became one of the youngest ordained deacons in my church. It was a blessing. It was a very hard process. Ordination processes, y'all, are difficult sometimes. I feel like I'm skipping something. Let me paint the picture for you how this deacon thing came about, right? So while I was serving as an audio engineer, there was an instance where somebody, my pastor does these classes on Mondays and Tuesdays. And the person who used to cover those classes and record those classes was getting their PhD. So they weren't able to do it anymore. So the media director was doing it, but she was old. She's not old, but she's older.
Right.
And she was having some issues with her knees and her back and all that. And it was hard for her to get up and come out all the time at night. So I was already there doing choir rehearsals, recording those. I said, how about I just do it while I'm here? You don't worry about it. And she said, would that be too much? I said, nah, it's cool. I'm already here. So I started doing that. And in doing that serving, doors started opening through God. God was opening doors for leadership for him and I to get closer and have conversations. And, you know, he pretty much calls me his son. And it started that way. And the reason why that's important, why I wanted to back up just a second to say that, was because there was a time in my life where I did not trust any man because of my relationship with my earthly father.
Right.
And it scarred me from all men. And to have this person who does not know me, who's the pastor of about a couple thousand people, he looks at me and says, yeah, I'm going to be your spiritual father. And I want you to, you know, rock with me. I want you to, you know, if you need me, you knock on the door. Here's my number. Like that kind of thing, you know, but that goes from serving God first.
Right.
And serving him with the right heart and doing things not to be seen, not to be get a reward, but to do it because you love God and you love God's people and you want everyone to be blessed. So you're willing to sacrifice. Right.
Right.
And from that, it just sparked a great relationship between me and my pastor and then even my assistant pastor and all the other leaders that are in executive leadership. I have a great relationship with all of them just from me serving, you know, and it doesn't take much to do that. And then what else happened in that period? Because he's putting me on the spot, y'all. I'm trying to tell my story, but
While you're thinking of that, I can also ask you this question.
Go ahead.
So when you were running from God, this is something that I think a lot of Christians don't understand.
Yeah.
When you're running from God, did you still have a love for God? Like, did you still love God?
Absolutely. There were certain things I really wouldn't do. As bad as I was, as crazy as I was, I still had a love for him. I would still pray. You know, I would still ask him for guidance. I would still ask him for forgiveness if I felt the strong conviction of whatever I may have done and or said. I still loved him, and I knew he still loved me. And I think that's what kept me in my wild season. That's what I like to call it, my BC days, before Christ days.
Right.
That's what kept me. And it was just, you know, the love of God. And I'm going backwards for a reason. I'm giving you guys the good stuff to tie in some of the stuff that led me back to Christ. Now that I know how I'm going to do this. Thank you, Ben, for that question. Thank you for that.
I think that, and I don't want to keep too long so we don't lose our train of thought, but I think Christians oftentimes we think, oh, well, if they really loved God, they wouldn't be doing this. Guys, remember David.
Yeah, man.
David murdered
another man.
Somebody. David murdered another man for his wife after he already had his wife and got her pregnant. David was still in love God. David just had a little bit of a season where he didn't follow God. And that shows that we can also fall like David did. So just because somebody has strayed away, I know people that I absolutely love that are so close to me that had a season where they fell off. but yeah, they still would say that they loved God. So, like, just because if you see someone that's sinning, it doesn't mean they aren't saved. It doesn't mean that they don't yearn to have a relationship with God. Mm. But what it means is they've just have kind of maybe lost sight. So as what does Paul say? He talks about how just try to bring them back, win them back by love. You know what I mean? Like bring them back instead of being like, oh, well, if you really loved God, you wouldn't be doing this. So henceforth, I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. I'm not going to do all of these different things. Yeah. That's not helpful. You know,
no.
People can love God and still not follow him the way that they should. Just wanted to get that clear. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
No. I think it's good. And in loving God, you know, there's maturity in love, right? Yep. So let's look at loving God as if you're dating someone. Mm-hmm. You know, in the beginning of the dating process is strong infatuation. Like you're infatuated with the person. You want to talk to them all the time. You want to text them all the time. You want to call them all the time. You want to hear their voice. You want to be in their presence, right? And then after a while, you start to get comfortable with the individual. Mm-hmm. And that's when your true self starts to show up. You know, whether you're a liar or whether you're aggressive or what, these different things start to happen as you grow in relationship with people. People start to reveal to them who you really are. And the one thing about God is that he courts us a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and he's patient with us in our maturity and loving him. And he's very clear on how he wants to be loved. It's just that sometimes we fall short of that because we're still trapped in our own heads and what we want to do. But a lot of times for people who are out there who are maybe struggling with, you know, I love God, but I just can't get things right all the time. Listen, give yourself some grace, but also you have to make a decision. Mm. And that's the difference in maturity. It's like, if you love someone, you need to show them that you love them.
Yeah, preach. That's right.
You got to be able to make the hard decisions and the hard sacrifice. And it takes a very strong will to do so, you know, to be able to sacrifice the things that he's asking you to sacrifice or stop doing the things he's telling you to stop doing. Or, you know, if you fall, one thing I love about David, and I'm glad you brought him up. The one thing I love about David is that his sin and his repentance weren't too far apart. Mm. Right. So when he sinned and killed Uriah, the next thing you know, he's fasting and praying for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And he's also fasting and praying that God would turn his judgment. We all know that God didn't. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the parallel was just a few days. It wasn't like it was months and he's just living his life.
Right.
And without repentance, right? So if you are in that place, you know, you can learn from David to go to him as soon as you mess up or you feel like you messed up. Go straight to God. Mm-hmm. Don't allow time for condemnation and shame and guilt to take a foothold in your life. And then that's when you start to feel like, I can't do this Christian thing because I can't always get it right. Nobody gets it right. Nobody does. I ask for forgiveness every day, even if I may not do anything, but I ask him to forgive me every day because you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. And something else while we're on the same day, what you're talking about, but it's important. I believe David was blinded by his sin too. I think that he went so far because Nathan came to him and he said, you know, somebody took this one man's sheep. You know, he had all these other sheep, but he took the poor man's sheep. He was like, who is this guy? He needs, like, he had the sense of justice. Like, he really thought he that to him that you are that man. You are the man that's this. Then he broke down. Why? Because I personally think that David, when you get entangled in sin enough, it's easy to become blind. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's easy to turn a blind eye to it and be like, oh, well, it's not this, it's not a big deal. You know, you just kind of shut it off. Right, it is a big deal. And when it reveals that to you, when you finally understand, wait a second, I just, like, you understand everything you just did to your Savior, then that's when, like Antoine was saying, right away, be like, okay, I need to get this right. And David still, like Antoine also said, he still faced the consequences for what he did.
Yeah.
It, you can't change the consequences. You know, sin has a consequence.
Yep.
But no matter whether you get a consequence or not, you can be forgiven.
Absolutely.
Like, whether the consequences are not dependent on forgiveness or vice versa.
So. Right. And I'm going to say this and now I'll slide into the story. But you said something about you can't fight the consequences or fix the consequences. Is that God forgives sin, but he does not change the consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not be as severe. Maybe. I don't know. It depends on what he decides to do.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a fact, because what our sin deserves is death.
Yeah. You know, so, and part of the death that we experience is separation.
Yeah.
You know, because once you sin for, like, when you're sinning or continuously sinning, I don't know about anybody else, but when I was in repetitive sin or self-sabotaging sin, I literally felt separated from God. Like, it was hard to pray. Extremely hard to pray. And that's one of the indicators that you are experiencing a spiritual death, because you don't feel his presence and it's hard for you to connect to his presence. So then you need to be restored and all those different things when it comes to that. And, you know, if you're in that place, you know, there is hope for you. You know, there's hope for you in Jesus. So speaking of that place.
Cut out there. I don't think I got any of that last paragraph of what you just said.
I think it was either me or you, because I didn't hear you either. So I think it was probably not even sure.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But if you want me to repeat it again, I can.
I mean, if you want to, or if maybe it worked out.
Yeah, I can repeat it.
Okay, go for it.
So one of the things you said about God not being able to change the consequences, that he forgives, but he does not change what he already said. You know, the wages of sin is death, and you're going to have to face what you did in some way, shape, or form. It may not be a stoning anymore or any of those things, but there's something you're going to have to deal with because of what you did. Whether it's, you know, if you cheated on, let's just say you cheated on your wife or you cheated on somebody and you get the person pregnant, then the consequence of that is that you have a baby now.
Right.
And now that's going to be the constant reminder of what you've done.
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh, God, I got to. Yeah, you have to live with it. But, you know, he makes beautiful things out of our mistakes, because who's to say that that child won't do whatever? And one of the go ahead.
No, I'm just going to, on the note of abortion, you know, people say, well, it's. Sure, I made a mistake, so then why should I bring this child in? The child's not the mistake.
No,
the mistake is what you did.
Yes, the action is the mistake.
Exactly. Now that child is a gift. That child can do amazing things. So what, and like you said, the child, who knows what this child, God can still use it for the best. And the fact that we're even talking about the child, as a human being, shows that there's no right, you have no right to kill a child. And, you know, people are going to be like, oh, well, you don't understand. And I don't understand what women go through. I understand that. But I also understand that I know what it's like to be a child. I know what it's like to be someone who is seeing how God can use me. So, and I understand what it's like to be a son of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And if my mom chose to abort me, who knows what I'm going to do in my life? Who knows all of the people that God's going to reach through me? You know what I mean? You never know. And the child's not the problem.
Nope.
You did, and God can forgive you for it. So take that forgiveness and raise up the child the right way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you don't feel like you're an adequate parent at that time, or you're prepared to do that, there are other options.
Such
as adoption, you know, and even adoption within the family, so that you can still be close to that child. Mm-hmm. You know, you can adopt. You know, your cousin could adopt a kid, and when you guys are ready to tell them the truth,
right?
Boom, you know.
Yeah, but, there's so many other options.
But so many other options rather than killing somebody.
Exactly. I get very passionate about that.
I understand. I totally understand because it's a big debate right now. And it's a big thing within all the communities where people are like, I have the right to choose. And I'm like, yeah, you got free choice, but you're also going to have free consequence too. Yep. So I was like, yeah, you gotta make sure what you're doing is right. You know,
and where is the child's choice? Yeah, exactly. You might be carrying him for 9 months, but guess what? That child is going to be carrying himself for the rest of his life or her life.
Right. Right.
You know, you do not have the right to choose whether someone lives or dies, period. You don't.
You know, not at all.
Anyway, that's something that I it's a taboo subject, but it's a taboo subject that I am very passionate about. So.
No, I totally understand. So speaking of, you know, living a life and dealing with some of the consequences, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the other part of the story that I forgot, but I omitted for a reason is because, and God works funny because now it just adds up perfectly. So when I decided to come back to God, it wasn't because of my own choice.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a party, actually not too far from where I'm currently living right now. I was at a mm-hmm. party. It was a hotel party. One of my best friends at the time, who I don't even talk to anymore, but she was my best friend at the time. She just had her birthday was going on. So they had a hotel party. There was liquor. There was mm-hmm. marijuana. There was girls. It was music. It was a lot going on, right? So I'm taking shots. I don't even know how many I had, but I had a lot. That's all I can tell you. I had enough where I could not feel my feet. It was a lot of alcohol.
A lot of alcohol.
It was a lot. And then I only smoked twice, and that was the second time. So I was already drunk, and then I decided to get high too. So I'm drunk and high at the same time. Not a good combination, guys. Not a good combination. Not at all. It feels great, but afterwards, no, not a good combo. And my buddy and I, we were going to go to Wawa, which was literally right next door to the hotel. So we could have literally walked, but he was like, nah, I don't feel like walking. It's cold. I guess he was cold. It was summertime. I don't know why he said it was cold. But
again, don't get drunk and high at the same time.
Yeah, don't do that at the same time ever. Don't do it ever. Say no to drugs, guys. Say no. It doesn't do anything for you. But he was like, yeah, I want to drive, whatever, da 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 da. So I'm like, all right, let me finish smoking what I'm smoking, then we could go. I don't want to stop what I'm doing because I'm feeling great right now. So I'm sitting out on a balcony. And I'm sitting down. I'm actually sitting on the actual balcony, not sitting in a chair or anything, just sitting down out there and I'm smoking or whatever. And then I stopped and I'm sitting there and the breeze is blowing. Feels great outside. And next thing I know, I hear a very still, small voice say to me, "You need to get out of here." And I'm looking around and I'm like, what are you talking about? I need to get out of here, bro. We just got here like an hour ago. Da da da. Because my friend was out there with me. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I didn't say anything. And I was like, man, I'm tweaking. Mm-hmm. I'm tripping right now. And he was like, why are you hearing a voice? I said, yeah. But whatever. So I'm sitting there, we just vibing out. You know, the marijuana's hitting harder. The alcohol starting to really settle. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, this is it right here. This is nice. And then next thing I know, I hear the voice again. You need to get out of here. So this time I'm like, bro, I know you just said something to me. But he wasn't there.
Whoa.
I didn't even hear him get up. So I'm like sitting there, first of all, intoxicated out of my mind. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that? I said, Lord, if that's you, keep talking. And he said, I need you to go now. So one of my other friends was on his way to the spot, but he was on his way to the hotel, and he texted me. He was like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to make it though." He said, "I'm gonna just swing by, get rid of gift, and I'm gonna leave because I'm not gonna be able to stay." I said, "Dude, do me a favor. When you come, can you take me home?" He's like, "What's wrong?" I was like, "I just really need to go home. Really, really, really need to go home." So, you know, I told everybody, I was like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to stay. I'm about to get out of here," which was a good idea for two reasons. And I'm gonna tell you the first one. First reason was I would have had a baby that night if I stayed. Mm. So thank God I wasn't there. Thank God I wasn't there. Number two, I would have died that night because the same friend who wanted to go to Wawa, he drove his car, and as soon as he turned onto the main road, he swerved and hit a telephone pole. Mm-hmm. And the side of the car that would have got hit would have been where I was sitting. Mm-hmm. And that would have been it, the way he hit that thing, it would have took me out. So God literally saved my life. Mm-hmm. In the midst of me being all jacked up.
Right.
He literally talked to me in a very intoxicated season. And that's what led me that following weekend, or what it might have been that next Sunday, that next day, I went to church. Mm-hmm. And got myself together. And then that's where my new journey with him began. And he started showing me all kinds of stuff. Like, I had a dream where he was telling me, "Yeah, you have a prophetic gift." And he was showing me about being a pastor and the things that he was telling me in private. I've gotten prophecies out the wazoo, by the way. Right, right. So for any prophets out there, I don't need anymore. I think I'm okay.
Right.
but you know, that was the turning point. But the main part of my life that I want everybody to really get, you know, because right now, just to push forward, you know, the pandemic happens. I was one of the very few who was able to serve during the pandemic to keep the church afloat. I was doing multiple broadcasts during the week, recordings during the week, editing and doing all these kinds of stuff because we had to be remote.
Right.
And there was a few of us that knew how to do all that stuff. So I stepped up and did what I had to do. And that paid off because now I'm the head audio engineer of my church.
Right.
And I got a team of people. I got a team of people who's under me, who look up to me, and God's still blessing, you know.
Love it.
And that's a paid job. That's not something that's just volunteer. I'm actually getting paid for that. And right. That's a beautiful thing because it was something I actually desired years ago to be on staff. And now I'm on staff. So come on now,
that's awesome.
You know, yeah. but everything comes for me with three simple things, you know, sacrificing, surrender, and supplication.
Okay.
You know, when you sacrifice for God, when you're willing, when you love him enough to give up what he's asking you for, you know, that's a big, when you surrender, meaning like you just give up your will, you know, in the moments that he's asking you to do something, you surrender to it. And supplication, you go to him in prayer all the time. You spend moments in prayer. You sit in prayer. You sit in meditation and allow him to speak to you. And I really, really guarantee you, like, you start doing certain things, and you don't have to do those three S's that I just named. It could be whatever for you, but that's what my life has really been all about, you know, in service. I forgot about that. Serving has opened the door for a lot of different things, a lot of opportunities. You know, people that know my name now that did not know my name a few years ago is all because they saw me serving.
Right.
And I've gotten great opportunities from serving God, whether it was pouring water in a glass and giving it to my pastor, or carrying his Bible, or moving a table, moving chairs, showing up to put food in baskets for senior citizens. You name it, I've done it, and I'll continue to do it, because to be great in the kingdom, you have to serve.
Right.
You know, and God did not send Jesus to condemn the world.
Yeah.
He sent Jesus to serve us,
yeah,
and to show us what it was like to be a servant.
That's a lot of what I talked about with Brent last week.
Wow.
Is the servanthood of Jesus. And
yeah, man.
I think it's time God has really been working on people's hearts, because there's so much selfishness in the world.
Oh, for sure.
Christians also can be selfish.
Man, but we're the number ones.
Yeah, we need to realize the selflessness of Christ, the selflessness of God. Why do we think that we have to be served when God came down to serve us?
Yeah, like, man.
It's so backwards.
But, like, he literally loved us enough to allow things to happen, but loved us enough to come down, deal with what we deal with in human flesh, and then do the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
The ultimate thing, which is give up his life for his friends. He calls us friends.
That's right.
To give up his life for
us. I can get us. Teary-eyed
thinking of it. Bro, I had to catch myself for a second, but like literally that's what he wanted to do. Like he's like, I'm coming here and I'm giving it my all. I'm leaving nothing on the table. And oh yeah, I'm bringing somebody else with me after I go, which is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So it's just a beautiful thing. And as I reflect on my story, you know, my story may not be yours, but everybody has one with God. And I want to encourage people, don't be ashamed to share your testimony. The good things, the bad things. There are so many intricate parts of the story that I could have dove into that probably would free a lot of people, like how to overcome addiction, how to overcome anger, how to overcome daddy issues, all those different things that I had to overcome in my 30 years of life, which isn't really a long time. It's just a very progressive time where I actively have to keep growing. And it's the same thing even now, like getting ready to be a husband, dude, is probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do. Oh yeah, very. But it's also one of the hardest things because people don't recognize that being a husband means you're going to have to die to yourself.
Yeah.
Every day.
And there's no escaping it either.
No, you can't, you can't run. You can't run from it. It's being a husband is more than the wedding and the house and being able to have sex without guilt and have somebody to cuddle with and talk to and cry and all that other stuff is way more than that. You know, you're married. You're married for a purpose.
Yeah.
You're married. Your marriage is attached to God's destiny for your life. And he's giving you the investment.
And as you get into this new phase of life with your wife, you can show God's love like you weren't able to before. Because with that marriage, you can show the way that you respond to your wife, the way that your wife respects you, the way that you guys like communicate with each other and love each other. I think the new doors are going to be open now where you can show God's love like you never were able to before.
Dude, look at you out here getting downloads from heaven. You know, been out here dropping
like
nuggets.
Never heard that.
Oh, downloads from heaven.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for sharing your story, man. It's such a help, because sometimes people think that they're too far for God when that's not true. You're not.
No, not at all.
There's nothing you can do that God could love you less. God loves you. He wants to save you. And look at what Antoine's doing. He has a great podcast. He's getting married. He's serving in the church. He's doing all these great things for God, not because he was a great person or that he had a great past, but because he has a great God that still. So I love everything that he does. This is why I wanted him on, guys, because I love the way that he just articulates what he's trying to say, and it's a download from heaven.
Yeah, man. It's a download from heaven, dude. Yes, sir. Because I mean, just make sure your Wi-Fi signal's on when he's ready to download. But
yeah, exactly.
Meaning
exactly.
Your faith,
Wi-Fi connection.
Wi-Fi is fixed. Make sure your faith is on when he's trying to download to you. But no, I believe wholeheartedly in the scripture where it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And, you know, the blood did exactly what it was supposed to do, and it continues to do it. It never loses power. But our testimony will unlock things in other people and even in ourselves as we reflect, as we remember God, as we remember his goodness, as we walk through this journey. And a lot of the things that we go through is just memorials and resumes of what he's done in our lives. So for instance, like, and I'm going to be real transparent with you guys, and then we're going to let you guys go because I know everybody got things to do. But listen, this week, these past couple weeks have been real, real, real rough. And part of it is because I lost an uncle a couple weeks ago. And it was difficult to deal with that loss and get through some things. And as a result of the loss, I slipped into an old sin habit. And I literally was like, what am I doing? And I had to go to God in the midst of that pain and hurt. It was like, this isn't even about the sin for me. The reason why I did it is because I was hurting. Yeah. And I wanted to feel something. And in those moments, I could not feel God because it hurt so bad. So for anybody out there that feels like, you know, God may not understand me, he's a big spirit, a big guy in heaven overlooking me with a magnifying glass. That's not the truth. You know, that's not the whole thing. You know, he's actually very loving. He's very present. He's with you all the time. And the last thing that I want to say to you guys is when he tells you to do something, just do it. Be obedient. I don't even know who that's for. It might even be for me, because right now he's testing me to do something that I really don't want to do. But at the same time, I know I have to do it. And the results of it, the reason why he's asking you to do something is because it's attached to somebody else.
That's right.
It's not really so much about you. It's also about, let's just use Ben for example. Ben's yes to God, Ben's yes to doing this podcast is blessing people that he will never meet. If he didn't say yes to God, the people who are listening to his show right now would not know as much as they know. May not even got saved, may not even came out of that addiction or that depression or that low self-esteem, because God used Ben's yes to unlock other people. It's just how it flows.
It's powerful.
It's just how it flows. Like, once you start to realize that your relationship with God is about you and him, it's personal, but it's also external too.
Yeah.
Like, your yes unlocks other people's yeses, allows other people to reach destiny and purpose because you said yes and you're doing what he told you to do. And that's the whole part of my testimony. At the end of the day, love God. Don't be afraid to come to him when you're hurting. Don't be afraid to go to him when you're stuck in sin. He can overcome any addiction, any shortcoming. He can use anything. I said this before in one of my shows, like, I did not want to do a podcast that I didn't, because I did not like the sound of my own voice. Now I'm comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, yeah, use me, God. But before,
you go callous to it.
Huh?
So you grow callous to it.
Yeah, for sure. You do. After a while of listening to you, I was like, oh yeah, I said that, whatever. But at the same time, that's a growth.
Yeah.
That's growth.
Yeah, you're right.
And he wants to do those things in our lives. He wants to give you that opportunity. Ben, do you mind if I pray for the people real quick?
Absolutely. Please do.
Thank you. So, Father, right now, we thank you right now for this opportunity. We thank you for this day, God. We thank you for this time. We bless your name for your awesome goodness, God. When we thought that we lost it all, today we're reminded that we have goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives, according to Psalm 23. Now, God, I pray for the listeners right now for those that may be struggling with things, those that may be feeling some insecurities, those that may be struggling in faith or struggling in a surrendering place, or may just be uncomfortable in what God is calling them to do, I ask you, Lord, to give them peace, to give them comfort. And God, also whisper in their ear and let them know that they're there. I pray for strength for them right now, because I know firsthand what it feels like to go through things and not feel adequate enough, not feel like I have the qualifications, but to still continue to pursue and watch you overcome my shortcomings. So I thank you, God, for what you're about to do in the listeners' lives. I ask you, Lord, to continue to bless them, continue to give them the desires of their heart, the good things of their heart. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come near them. And God, I want to thank you for Ben. Thank you for this young man who loves you, this young man who wants to do your will, who works hard, who's diligent, who's doing his best to spread the good news the best way that he knows how, who's taking time in your word, spending time in prayer, encouraging people, uplifting people. God, I thank you for his yes, because his yes has unlocked other yeses. He has inspired me, and I know he will continue to inspire others. Now, I ask you, Lord, to expand his borders, to breathe on this podcast, let it reach even more people as he's being diligent over it, as he's being specific about who he wants, how he wants them to be on there, what he wants to talk about. I thank you for just continuing to bless him, God. Now, Lord, I pray for his family. I thank you for his mother, her faith. Thank you for his siblings and their faith. And I just thank you for the Godcast podcast, man. And you've just been an awesome God for us. So, Lord, just thank you for everything. Leah, that's all I really have to say, is just thank you for everything, God. Because you didn't have to do it, but you did. You decided to do it. And for those that may be struggling with sin, this is your moment right now to just say this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that you are the Son of God. I come to you confessing my sins, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, save me from my sins, and let me be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as we end off yet another episode, I want to remind you of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, you can put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten Son. Don't forget that you are loved by God. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not worth it, because you were worth enough that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for you. And don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions, comments, or concerns you might have on this episode, and I will gladly get back to you as soon as possible. So until next time, God bless. Thank you.